The first iteration of tribal courts in the U.S. came late in the 19th century, when they were established by the Interior Department. But the greater progress emerged in 1934, with the implementation of the Indian Reorganization Act. Though there were concerns about how independent the courts were allowed to be, advocates believe it was an important step in allowing Native American tribes to operate their own court systems. A documentary called Tribal Justice focuses on a pair of tribal court chief judges currently serving in California. The tribes are the Yurok and Quetzon, and the chief judges are Abby Abenanti and Claudette White. Anne Makepeace is the filmmaker behind Tribal Justice. She traveled from her home in Connecticut to produce the film in California. I recently spoke with her. We started the conversation by talking about how she felt after meeting Judges Abenanti and White for the first time.
They're both so compelling and so passionate and so dedicated to restoring their people. One case at a time, one court case at a time. And also they're very different from each other. You know, Abby Abenanti, the chief judge of the Yurok tribe, is an elder. She was the very first Native American woman to pass the bar and begin to practice law in California back in the 70s. She has served as both a state court judge in San Francisco in the California state system and beginning in 2007 as the chief judge of the Yurok. So she's fascinating because she has a foot in both worlds, and she has that amazing history, making history. You know, when she became a lawyer, she said that she was spat upon. She faced a lot of resistance. A judge actually said, "You can't be a lawyer, you're an Indian." So back in the 70s, she faced a lot of resistance. Now, Claudette, who is the chief judge of the Quetzon tribe down by Yuma, Arizona, is much younger. I think she was 39 when we started to film, and she'd already been chief judge for, I think, 3 years at that point. Has quite a different style from Abby. You know, Abby refuses to ask people to swear an oath of honesty because she feels that is insulting to them. So, of course, they're going to tell the truth, and if they don't, that's on them. Whereas Claudette's, you know, Claudette wears a robe. She sits behind a bench. She has people swear in through the Quetzon code.
How much pressure are they under, whether self-imposed or in the greater sense? How much pressure, how much responsibility do they feel? Because this is not that an average judge doesn't feel some pressure and responsibility, but this is so much more about the greater community and the greater tribe. Are they actually compelled to take on more of this, knowing that their impact can be so much greater?
Well, I think their sense of responsibility is huge because they are part of the tribe. It's like one big family, one big community. And a basic difference between tribal courts and state courts, if you're a state court judge and you know anybody coming before you, whether it's the victim, the perpetrator, or anybody, you have to recuse yourself. You can't hear that case. Whereas, you know, what Abby says in the film, she said she's talking about how they're trying to reach back into the way their elders would have done it through the centuries. And she said nobody would have thought of going to a stranger to adjudicate a dispute between tribal members. They would have gone to a respected elder who knew everybody. And so I think both judges feel that they are at an advantage because they know the histories, the families, they know the parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren of these people who come before them, and that gives them a great deal of understanding and how best to address whatever the issue is that brought them there. But it also puts huge responsibility on them because they're like, in Abby's case, she's like a grandmother, or in Claudette's case, she's like an aunt to the people who come before her, whether they're blood relatives or not. That's how tribes function. So when Abby says in the film, you know, the state's responsible for millions of people, I'm responsible for 6,000 Yuroks and their families. Well, 6,000 Yuroks, that's a lot of responsibility, you know. And she feels it, and she's been doing this forever. Claudette also, when she, you know, early in the film, there's a family that comes before her, a 14-year-old boy. He and his brother, their mother died, their father's vanished somewhere, and their aunt and uncle are trying to get guardianship over them, and the boys have run away. So she has to, from what she knows of their history and what she sees in front of her, decide, is this kid, can he be saved?
How well do the two of them know each other? At one point, I know the judge, Claudette White, mentions that Judge Abinanti had been something of a mentor.
Definitely learned from each other, especially Claudette, I think she would say, has learned from Abby. They're both members of the Tribal Court State Court Forum, which is an organization run out of San Francisco that works towards making the relationship between state court judges and tribal judges work for the benefit of all. And so they see each other in meetings at that organization probably at least twice a year. Have they hung out together? I don't have that sense. But I think Abby is such a monumental figure in the world of tribal law and tribal courts that she's somebody that everybody in that field, not just in California, but across the country, looks up to, learns from.
Anne Makepeace is a documentary filmmaker. We've been talking about her latest, called Tribal Justice.